Welcome back to the M54 podcast. The last time that we podcasted was December 2022.
Yep.
And today is also your birthday. And this is one of the things you would like, you mentioned that you would like to do today, is to resume our podcasts. Yep. And so.
I was just opening my sweater. It's getting a little hot in here. We're sitting by a fireplace, or burning fireplace. You may even hear the flames in the background. Outside, it's 10 degrees Fahrenheit. We're sitting across from each other in these armchairs and resuming our podcasting. Over the past while, random people have approached me, and I think I've approached you as well, and said, oh, you used to podcast. Why'd you stop? So I figured on my birthday, I think we can start it up. It's a good day to start it up again. Now, we didn't stop, like, it wasn't a principled stop that we're like, oh, we don't want to podcast anymore. I think it was just the work we were doing was demanding back then, and still today, but back then, that we started doing back then was so demanding, you know, of our bandwidth, intellectual and emotional bandwidth, that we didn't have the space to dedicate to podcasting. And also, we were also then also still developing something which we'll share more about, but now it's quite developed, I think, enough that we have the bandwidth to come back to podcasting and speak about it and share about it, about amongst other things.
Yes, the project of M54, the magic of three times chai, when one person engages another in a holistic, wholesome, honest, real conversation, then a new liveliness emerges. So 18 and 18, and another 18 is 54.
And we also added the Institute for Insourcing of Aveda Pnimius. I think we didn't have it back then when we were...
Correct.
Yeah.
That's our tagline. We are deeply immersed in what Aveda Pnimit, insourcing, inner work looks like. We've learned a whole lot over the last 2 years, and we've learned alongside phenomenal colleagues of ours. And we're going to share some insights and learnings and perspectives and of that and of life. What's interesting is that the idea of a podcast has a big dose of outsourcing in contrast to insourcing, in that you are listening to, the listener is listening to someone else's ideas and perspectives and experiences. And it begs the question, what do you do with it? And how long does it stay in you? And to be inspired is fun, but it's very fleeting. It's valuable, but it doesn't last. And Aveda Pnimit, and you'll hear us say Aveda Pnimis as well, demands that we grapple, process, internalize, apply, experiment with change based on shifting perspectives and insights and learnings. So while you and I are sitting down articulating what it is we've done, we are also feeding into the huge billion-dollar industry of outsourcing wellness, health, learning, where a person becomes, you know, an influencer and then influences, or a person is seeking for someone to inspire them and change their lives. And so they outsource their work and are constantly chasing the never-ending, you know, overwhelming avalanche of ideas. There's also a lot of noise in the world. So in addition to what we find people commonly do is outsource, it's very noisy. And so right now this podcast, I'm not sure how many listeners we'll have, but there's, what is it, hundreds of thousands of podcasts? More?
I'm sure.
So we're just a tiny little voice and adding to the noise.
Yeah.
So there's a certain hesitancy and a certain caution that I'm sitting here with as we begin resuming podcasting.
I have to admit that I'm not a big podcast listener. I don't think you're either.
Correct.
Correct. I do like to listen to things and learn, but I usually like it more in the long form, more in the book form, or like a long, maybe lecture or talk on a topic. But I'm mostly more into the books that could take, 20 to 30 hours and over a long period of time to listen to. But a podcast, I usually don't. So it feels a little strange starting up here and doing this and feeding to that. But I think, our role as teachers and as educators, which is what we see ourselves as, is calls for it.
Right. So it's with that, it's honoring that and acknowledging that what we've learned can be shared, perhaps even should be shared, is how we're entering this. We're also entering this with a certain kind of playfulness, ease, softness, derech harucha approach, which is what Avodah Pnimiyos stands on. Derech harucha uktzara is the long, short way. And we'll also totally touch upon that as well. There's something different about how we're entering this podcast. We're not being harsh about, we must podcast, every 6 days, or we're going to make sure the editing is perfect. But there's a joy and coming from a state of abundance that we're going to be sitting down today and in the future to share, teach, engage, question, wonder about.
Yeah. So I think we could start by what got us into this area of avodah pnimit or avodah pnimis or insourcing. And, I'll say for myself and is that the question that I asked myself is, or we asked ourselves, is there's so much information out there. There's so much knowledge out there. There's so many people speaking and writing and reading so much wisdom. And we've observed some such people, yet their quality, the way they are in the world and the problems that they encounter don't seem to go away.
The people who are giving the wisdom?
Who are absorbing the wisdom. Mm. Absorbing the wisdom. There's so many, and the question I was asking myself is why? Why is it that? And I think the answer lies in the fact that there may be a lot of wisdom out there, but to apply it, to internalize it, to make it your own, that's something that a book can't do it for you. You have to really know how to do it yourself or put the work into it. And I felt that we felt that wasn't there. And we started going there and exploring it. Remember how it started? It actually started with COVID. With alumni. Mm-hmm. Remember that? Right? COVID started, students disappeared. And we said, okay, well, let's reach out to alumni and learn with them. And what we said was that we're not looking to read a text. We want to find alumni who have shared life experience, and let's learn the shared life experience, explore that, understand that, and learn what it's about, and so that we could live deeper, more meaningful lives as a result.
A life that you become the author of, you become the screenwriter, the narrator, where, we don't turn 40 or 50 and say, where did life go? Which is a very common phrase. As I stood this, the beginning of November, we celebrated our son Ellie's bar mitzvah.
Right.
Right? And what you hear typically when a parent speaks is, oh my goodness, time goes by so quickly. Oh my goodness, where did life go? And while that is true, because life does march on whether we're present for it or not, that sentiment is not one that I want to say frequently. I want to be present for moments in my life, and I want to be able to say that I've understood more, I've gained wisdom, and what have I done with it? So while we could attribute the qualities of time to, for example, sometimes grief, right? Sometimes challenging moments, this too shall pass, or time gives you time to process. We actually need to do, most of the time, we actually need to do things with the gained wisdom. And first, that comes with actually noticing our realities. And so it is from that perspective that we wanted to gather people with. Can we articulate what it is, what we are noticing in this world? Can we create some language? Yes, still English, but language that is ours, that we could put forward our experiences on, so they carry less weight and burden, where we're not afraid to just say things as they are. And notice we're not using the word vulnerable, which is a really popular word and is misused and kind of taken advantage of.
Almost like a banner of pride.
Yeah, like other words in the world. I think I tend to caution away from popular words. It's not you need to be vulnerable. It's in order to live more vibrant, healthy lives, you actually need to articulate what it is your reality.
Aveda Pnimis, or insourcing, is about paying attention to your life experiences, what's going on around you, and making the choices accordingly, as opposed to looking around what others are doing and what others expect of you and behaving accordingly. So, for example, one thing that comes to mind is something that, you know, as Chabad Shulchan on college campus, the most well-known program, or the most, in some ways, even perhaps even the most important program, is the Shabbat dinners. It's where you bring students into your life, into your home. You give them a Shabbat dinner experience, both a religious experience, but also a social experience, but also an energizing experience, a wonderful, wonderful experience. And Chabad is well known for that. And when we started on campus, that's what we did, because that is what a Chabad on campus does. And after a while, we started paying attention and noticing that our objective is to impact. Our objective is to make a difference. Our objective is to create a relational type of experience with our students that are coming into the house. And that wasn't being achieved to its what we thought was reasonable expectation. And
I would stop there and not use the word expectation. Having students in our home for 3+ hours every week was a tremendous opportunity that we could have been satisfied with keeping as energizing, social, religious. It checked off all those boxes and then some. It's a marvelous experience. But we knew that if we just kept to the same model, we were missing out on what could be an even more meaningful experience.
Yeah. So over the years, we've changed the model of what Shabbat dinner could look like. What does it mean to come to a Shabbat dinner? We've done so many. I'll just share that one of the most recent ones is where we ask students that when they come to Shabbat dinner to write a reflection or even like a mini essay on a topic. Every Shabbat is another theme, another topic, and we give them the prompts and they explore and they write about it. And the first time we did this model, some responded saying, well, this is not what Chabad is about. Chabad is about welcoming everybody. And in a certain sense, that is the image, or that is the, I call the outsourced perspective. But if you pay attention closely to what college is about, what Chabad is about, what Brandeis students are about, there could be something more and deeper.
Perhaps even what Paris and Chani are about, what we want, what kind of value we want to bring to our shlichut.
Yeah. So we put forward this type of Shabbat dinner experience. And to be honest, we didn't know how many students would respond. We were open to maybe over 10 students, right? We were open. That may happen, over at least initially. Mm-hmm. Initially, it'll grow.
In contrast to our 100, 150.
Right. And what turned out was that each week, 70, 80 students would write a thoughtful, for the most part, exploration on a particular topic. And the topics ranged from Jewish continuity, authority, relationships, fatherhood, motherhood, money. I don't know, like a whole bunch of topics. And this is, I think, an example of insourcing where making that plunge was alone. Required us to look internally, required us to pay attention to what is going on in our life, in our space, within ourselves, within our own souls, within the students around us, and make a decision that was original. Now, we weren't looking to be original. We weren't looking to be contrarian or to blaze a new path. We were simply looking to, I'll use the cliche, do our job. What we're about. We're about educating students. We're about connecting them. And as a result of this, that was the process we were thinking about. This idea emerged. And as a matter of fact, new students started coming to Chabad as a result of this new type of Shabbat dinner experience, because they felt they have a space here. They felt their voices are heard. They're not just coming in as passive participants. They're actively participating in the Shabbat dinner experience by contributing their words. I'll just add, we read those words, highlight some of the,
notable ones.
We have some of them read out, and it's conversations that are happening at the Shabbat dinner.
Right, where the theme is co-created by the students themselves. We've taken Shabbat dinner on a college campus to an entirely new place, and we love it. And it's more work. It's more work for us. We read every single reflection. And what I'm also understanding is we're teaching by asking the students to develop a certain kind of avodah pnimit themselves. What do they think about God? What do they want their Monday morning after graduation to look like? What attributes have changed in them? What are they wondering about? Those are things that are none of their professors are necessarily going to give them credit for or even teach or model it. But we are. And so we're giving them a more familiar taste of the critical importance of Avodah Pnimit and also the joy. So while at the beginning, students and alumni and some parents were wondering, what is this? Two semesters later, we do it in the winter when we eat back indoors, when the space is smaller, and we were really hoping to decrease the number of students. We're finding that it's not working anymore. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
They're sitting on the couches and they're asking us to open up the downstairs level. They will write because the feedback we asked the final essays, how was this?
Yeah.
And more are sharing with us how they looked at it with suspicion and groaned, oh, we write anyway for classes, what is Chani and Peretz making me do? And now they are recognizing the critical importance and the joy of actually finding a quiet place to think outside of their classes on topics that no one is asking them about. And then for them to actually form an opinion, and then for them to be curious about other people's opinions, which will come up during the dinner. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm sharing this with you, I'm noticing some of the qualities that Avodah Pnimit demands. One of them is slowness, a derech aruchai, long, short way. And I think we'll keep circling back to that. There's no quick answer. It's not a timed test. There's no right or wrong. So what do you do with time what do you do when you have time to process and think about something in a slower way? Another dynamic is curiosity.
Oh, I was going to wait for that, yes.
Curiosity. Curiosity is a necessary ingredient to do internal work in a reflective, honest way, which then breeds change. Avodah Pnimit is not supposed to remain theoretical.
No.
Right? The bottom line, tachlis. What is maisa hua ikar? The main thing is the action. What do we do when we gain wisdom? How? What changes do we invite in our lives? Are we? Can we experiment with them? We don't have to get it right at the first time. So we'll get to that. Those are other dynamics of Avodah Pnimit, but curiosity. I believe we should probably leave curiosity also for another topic in our podcasting. It's a phenomenal, amazing space to be curious about how we lose it. We're born with it, actually, as children, and it's not fostered as we become adults.
Another topic to explore, which didn't come out from the essays, but nonetheless, it's part of Avodah Pnimit, and you touched on it, is change. Is the necessity for change. It's my 49th birthday today, and as you get older, for the most part, you feel a sense of accomplishment and a sense of steadiness. In fact, though, change and the desire to change is critical and feels really important for me as I grow older, and I'm looking forward to more change and more change. And as also I observe people who are older, in their 60s and in their 70s, and I think that the difference between those who have a spark in their eye and those who don't are the ones that are engaged in change versus the ones who are set and don't see, pursue, or care for change. When I say change, I don't mean transformation. I mean paying attention to what you're doing and trying to become better, trying to adjust. Even the word better, adjust, 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 adjust. And Avodah Pnimit, Avodah Pnimit is the catalyst for that. Now, I'll just also add why we're saying Avodah Pnimit and Avodah Pnimit and insourcing. So you want to go for that? Explain why we're doing that in the different forms.
Oh, it's different accents.
So it is. There's the Ashkenazi Chabad accent, because Avodah Pnimit is a very much a Chabad idea. A Chabad idea in the sense it's critical in Chabad theology and Chabad spiritual growth is Avodah Pnimit. That all the theories and ideas are really meant for us to do the work, the internal work or the personal work, and bring change into our lives. So it's very much part of Chabad lexicon. So that's what you say, Avodah Pnimit. But for some people, Avodah Pnimit sounds like Chinese, so you say Avodah Pnimit, which is more common out in the Jewish world. And the Hebrew word for that, the English word for that, as far as we see it, there is internal work. Granted, that's like a literal translation, but a more accurate translation is insourcing.
Where the sources that we learn from is our own experiences. Like you noted, where we know our experiences best, that's what makes us unique. And so we know what we've learned from them, what they've shown, what they can show us, and what changes we need to make.
And that includes also integration of the big ideas that you learn in the text to your personal experience.
Outsourcing is critical. That's how we raise children, right? We model for them, we teach them, we direct them, we guide them. Then as we head into middle school and high school, college, there's critical, we need to kind of absorb and learn from and learn with and retext and gain knowledge, right?
But from the great teachers.
Absolutely. At a certain point though, we don't drop outside texts. We don't drop our teachers, but we need to have seen already, or please start absorbing those messages in deliberate, intentional ways and creating our own Pirkei Avot, right? Just like the great sage says that, the grass is greener on the other side. You know, what does that actually mean? And is that actually true? And do we incorporate that? And how does social media play a role in that? For example, a huge role in that. And how are we posting? Why do we post, for example? Feeding into mimicking a whole lot, and envy and jealousy and noise and time, really taking up a valuable time in what in our days. So those are some of the necessary ingredients for Avodah Panimiyus, processing, slow time, curiosity, change. And, you know, interwoven between all that is a certain kind of joy, playfulness, ease, softness, gentleness, respect, quiet,
dignity, integrity,
which I do like to define the word tsniut, tsnius, as modesty. The critical ingredients of modesty are what I just shared earlier.
Yeah. I think this will be enough for our first episode. And in future episodes, we're going to explore more of the ideas and tools that we that we've developed in M54 in the Avodah Pnimit. We will share some stories, and maybe even have some guests on who learned with us or who have thoughtful ideas in this area and have conversations with them. We'll see where this journey of Avodah Pnimit Insourcing podcast goes. And one thing is for certain, it'll be joyous.
Yes. Thank you for listening, and we welcome feedback.